where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves.
Hello everyone, I'm Joe with Critical Moves, and I'm here with Adam and Tim, and we are here to talk about alternatives to Civilization VII. Adam, how are you? What have you been playing?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Recently I've been playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, amazing game. It's not a strategy game, but again, it's so good. Guys, you should play it too.
Nice. All right. And I'm here with Tim also. How you been, Tim? What are you up to?
Hey, everyone. I'm quite all right. Thank you. I've been playing a lot of Star Sector lately. If you've ever heard of Mountain Blade, it's basically Mountain Blade, but in space, which is awesome. A really cool design your own ship and cool battle system. Lots of fun.
Tim, I didn't know you were a Star Sector guy. I've done some time in Star Sector myself. It's a fun game. Real fun, actually.
And with a mod, you can play it like a 4X game, actually, because you start already with a control of a planet, and you basically play it like a 4X.
Yeah. I put some time into that a couple years ago now. It feels like one of those games that is growing and evolving constantly, but sort of stays the same in the same respect, if that makes sense. So, I've been playing a few games recently. I jumped back into Dwarf Fortress for a little bit.
Ooh.
And I installed Victoria 3 and was about to play it. But I didn't know who to start with, and I saw that there was a new DLC. I know there's a Steam Silk, so I just sat there ready to play and did not play and played Dwarf Fortress instead. I'm just going to wait for the DLC, but I'm excited. Or wait for the sale to get the DLC. But I'm excited to jump in again because, I don't know, Civ made me want to play Victoria somehow.
It's quite on topic for today.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm an on-topic guy.
All right.
So we are going to start with different aspects of what people are drawn to Civilization for. And a lot of people are drawn to the city builder part. So we're going to talk about some city builder alternatives if that's what you're looking for. And the first one we're going to do is we are going to talk about City Skyline a little bit. Tim, do you want to tell us a little bit about why you should be looking at City Skyline?
So I think that's a game you should be looking at if you enjoy like the managing a city, quite evident, but actually it's a very well-designed game if basically you want to be a designer of cities. So you have to manage the logistics of the car infrastructure, you want to put in public transportation, you want to manage all sorts of aspects of a city, and it's very realistic. It's driven towards realism, basically. And I'm having a lot of fun imagining what an ideal city could look like, or something that's a lot of fun as well is redesigning your own city that you're living in at the moment. Is something that's quite popular, is like remaking a city that you're living in, and then maybe, oh, how would it look like if instead of this huge highway over here we would install a metro system? Like what would that do to traffic?
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics in that game, right?
Yeah. And then zoning districts and things like that, industry, zoning laws and stuff. Yeah, it's very nerdy, I would say.
So I've always been... Oh, go ahead.
And what do you think about second part? It's not so good as the first one. Or is it?
What second part? Is there a second part of this? I only played the first one. Like, the second one is like, to me,
exist.
big no.
Perfect. You're giving it the Civ 7 treatment. Love it. You know, I like City Builders a lot, but I, for some reason, have not jumped into that game yet. One of these days I'm going to. I keep waiting for the second one. I know, we're not supposed to talk about it. I keep waiting for the second one to get fixed, but maybe I should just jump into the first. Okay, the next one on our list. Go ahead.
No, it's just, I was just saying, it's if you want to be like an urban designer, that's it. Like, if you want that job, but without, you know, the whole going to uni and applying for the job and everything like that.
Or payment. All right, the next one on our list for the city builders is Tropico. Tropico is a game that I am very familiar with. I've played all of them, I think. And I think my favorite was 5, actually, but 6 is good too. To me, this is the game where if you enjoy city builders and Civ games are fine, but you feel them a little bland and perhaps, I don't know, I don't want to call it soulless, but there's a lot of depth to the Tropico games. You can follow someone for their whole life and watch how El Presidente has fixed their life or ruined it. And I just love those games. I love the tourism aspect. I love deciding what you're going to build. And like I said, seeing where they're going their lives. And for me, that is one, if you're looking for a unique city builder, it's a perfect one. Perfect option.
It's also very lighthearted.
Yeah.
It's not so serious. And I enjoyed that. Like, there's humor in it.
Some people don't like that part, probably, but I love that aspect.
Yeah, you have to enjoy the humor. Like, you have to be okay with it not being too serious. Like, and that's the other side of City Skyline. It's like very serious. There's no humor. And then Tropico is like all humor.
And it has like loads of DLCs, am I right?
Yeah. Interestingly, though, maybe you guys will disagree with me. I feel like Tropico's DLCs are very inconsequential, almost. You don't need them. You're fine without.
I'm a Tropico 3 kind of guy.
3? Nice.
Yeah.
You know, you could play that one on tablets.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe it was 4, actually. Anyway, so you guys are fans of Tropico, then?
Oh, yeah, massive.
I tried it once on console, unfortunately. And controller support wasn't so great, so... Yeah. Yes, I stopped. I should try again.
That's strategy games for you and consoles.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's jump to something you do like then, Adam. Why don't you tell us about Anno 1800?
So, Anno is a great game, and we can stop at this point. Like, there wasn't a single entry and at the whole franchise that was bad. Hell out of every each one of them. I changed my PC twice because, you know, like, Anno is the type of game that requires quite good CPU in terms of simulation. So I changed my PC twice in order to manage the new entries. And this one, it became kind of like Paradox Games in case of DLCs, but still it's so good. It's basically a city builder, but I would say on the harder side of city builders. Like, if you crank up difficulty, it can become really pain in the ass when you're playing it.
There's a lot of economic simulation in those games, right?
Yeah. And it's randomized. The really interesting part is that every run is kind of randomized based on the situation you are starting with. So, like, resources, enemies, and like placement of islands and so on. It's a good game. I played it even with my father when I was younger, so like, for me it is generational game.
Isn't there one that's not well received? I'm not trying to fight with you right now, Adam, but isn't Anno 23 or 2250, isn't there a futuristic one?
There's a space one. I haven't played that one, actually.
I believe it wasn't so well received because it was kind of similar to the previous entry, because there was 2070 and it was kind of similar to this one. So that's why people believed that maybe they're too similar.
Oh, that makes sense. Anno is a series that I keep thinking, now's the time to jump in. I need to change that.
So a big difference, I would say, with Civilization and these games, both Anno and the other, is that they're quite real time. So it can be stressful, I think, to some players who are used to the turn-based strategy, and like, and especially in Anno more than the other ones, sometimes there's something urgent. So your town is on fire. You have to do something ASAP. And if that's not too much your thing, which I think a lot of Civ players, they like the relaxed aspect, I would maybe stay away from Anno as much as I absolutely loved.
Oh, see, you kind of just almost talked me into it. I like that. I like to sit in the craziness and pause my TV and just dwell on what's happening.
it starts slow, so don't be like alarmed that it's too easy, because it starts really slow and cozy, but then it gets to the point that basically shit happens. That's what happened.
Nice. Okay, so those are our city builders. Now, if you're looking for a historic game where you're going to build up through the ages, we've got a couple options for you. The first one is a bit of an oldie, but some would argue a goodie. And that's Empire Earth. Tim, why don't you tell us why we should be talking about Empire Earth?
Yeah, that definitely scratches the itch of like seeing your empire go through all the different time periods. And I think that's something that I personally loved with Civilization, is like you start out in the Stone Age. Like, how many games are there where you're playing in the Stone Age? Not a lot. There's some, but yes, not many. Well, one that does it is Empire Earth. It has that like progress feeling to it. Something that I enjoyed since like Age of Empires, like that also had the progress. But this takes it to a whole new level where you have like tons and tons of different ages, and every time you can upgrade your troops. And let's be clear, it's an RTS game, so also it's in real time. Also, you play a match for an hour, 2 hours maximum. So not that much like Civilization in that aspect, but the aspect of going through the ages, I think I personally enjoyed it a lot. And there's also like a very nice campaign with nice story mode where you're also going back through the ages. So, yeah, that simple.
This one's got a couple sequels too, right? Or at least one sequel.
Yeah, no, there's Empire Earth 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 2 are the most liked, I would say.
Okay. Worth getting the sequels or not really? Is it better to just do the first one?
So some people prefer 2, some people prefer 1, so I'll get either one of those 2. The 3, not so much.
Okay, fair enough. Did you play that one, Adam?
I have played second one for, I don't know, a couple of hours, but it was kind of too long for me. You know, like my attention span couldn't hold it, because the playthrough was kind of long, but again, I was really young when I played it, so
sure, that makes sense.
It changed a lot, so since then.
Yeah. I never got into that one either, but I, like Tim, was into the whole taking your nation or whatever it is from the Stone Age, and that's one of the things I didn't like about Civ 7, where you're switching up nations and things like that. That didn't...
Yeah, and in Empire Earth, you also get to choose your nation, and then you can also choose like your custom added bonuses to it. So you can basically customize your own, and some eye more for infantry or resource gathering or whichever.
But you're still staying Greeks or whatever you chose.
Yeah.
I have to say also that like this theme of going from, I don't know, Stone Age to the future is also really appealing to me in terms of Civ games. So that's why I tried this game when I was young. Like, basically you go from the guys that barely attacks anything to the mechs and stuff.
But it is an RTS. It is a real-time strategy game. So it plays quite differently, I guess. But I enjoyed that as well,
yeah. Our next one for the movie Through the Ages is probably... I think this is what people think of when they think of moving through the ages strategy games. I mean, am I right that they coined grand strategy? I think they probably did. And this is the Paradox games. And there's so many to talk about here. We've got the Crusader Kings games, which I want to say are limited in scope, but they're not really. You can go from what's the first date now? Is it the 800s?
It's 700? 160 early. Or something like that. Yeah.
You can go from before 1000 and go all the way to like 1453 or something, right? Like you can go pretty long into that game. So
funny story about this game. When I talked about it with my girlfriend, she told me it sounds like scenes in medieval times.
Kind of. I could see that, especially once they added the 3D throne room and stuff like that. And then, you know, you can get somebody to build you a cool chair. Now you've got your cool chair in your throne room forever. Yeah.
Did you guys ever transfer a save game from one Paradox game to another?
No, I've never. Because
that's
even
definitely something
finished.
You can do mega campaign. You can do mega campaign. I know. So you start in Crusader Kings and you play through like every age and
all the way through Stellaris.
Yeah.
Did you, Tim? But
I did. Of course, you have to limit yourself. You have to limit yourself because it's kind of easy to blob and to paint the map. And you have to kind of like say, oh, I'm not going to do too much of that.
Yeah, I get that.
There is this huge discussion because some like older parts like Europa Universalis has this issue that basically if you play too long, it basically kind of breaks its own rules. So people say that you should either start like in Napoleon Age or like at the Discovery Age. But if you go all the way through, basically the game kind of breaks itself. I tried it once and it seems like it happens. So, yes.
There is currently an issue with Europa Universalis. I would almost consider going back to Europa to play that for some time because that's quite streamlined. And you're not finding yourself in 1500 and Indonesia fighting against natives with cannons.
But the interesting part with this Europa Universalis 4 is that you can see that basically like this newest Paradox games took so much from it, like the tree part, like management part. It was kind of like the newest version of it was basically Europa Universalis 4, and they took everything and it started there, I believe.
Yeah,
like Stellaris interface, this kind of look that specific to kind of age the games happens in, and so on and so forth.
But Joe, why would you say that someone who plays Civilization would enjoy?
I mean, really, for the same reason that they would enjoy Empire Earth if they want to build something from the start to the end. You know, I mean, Paradox Games, each one is specialized in what they're doing. And so I guess, you know, it depends on what you, the other thing you want. Like if you like the idea of having a faction and really being in on your faction, then the family dynasty aspect of Sith of Crusader Kings you might like. If you like numbers go up, let's make my cities as powerful and rich as possible, then you really might like Victoria 3. And I know that's kind of, not everybody likes Victoria 3, but I love picking at that game.
I like it too.
I love it too. It's an amazing game.
Yeah. I love trying to build up an economy in that game. It really, I don't know why, but the logistics and the whole thing, I really enjoy that game. I could play that game for hours.
I really like how you see the progress of science and technology and the effect it has on the culture and on the people and the politics and like how it interplays each other. And I find that really fascinating. It's a history lesson, I would say.
Yeah. And one thing about that game, more than any other Paradox game, is you really find out how difficult people are. Like when you are trying to change.
But it makes sense from their perspective. Yeah. And you learn that. You learn that like, oh, of course they would rebel against this because that's against their own interests. Yeah.
I'm trying to change Vietnam and and help them liberalize a little bit. And they're just like, no, we're not doing that at all. We have no interest in that. Why would we also want to get rid of slavery?
It also shows kind of like also like how countries are different. If you start as a Japan, the game is completely different, like different game when you start as a Japan, and for example when you start as I don't know some Prussia or something. This it's like and. The law you introduce, the people you cope with, like everything changes totally. I love it.
I love starting as Haiti or Venezuela, some of those countries over there. Because Haiti's the little sleeping giant if you can get France away from you. Venezuela has everything you need. You push some people around at the beginning. It's a fun, fun game. I don't like playing any of the powerful people too. Only the weak people who can. That's how I play it. I've never even played England or UK.
It is like almost a mix between turn-based and real-time, right? Because when you're playing it, it feels a bit like real-time, but effectively it's like tons and tons of tiny turns. So you can pause any time and then change anything and then continue. You can slow the speed down, speed it up.
It is like that.
It is a nice mix of turn-based and real-time, I would say.
Every time I build something, I pause, build up a little bit, play, and that's like my turn, like you're saying.
I heard the interview with a game dev team that was producing Victoria 3, and basically the streams were really good. You should watch them. But again, they told during the streams that they treat this game as a turn-based game in terms of development, because you have the sticks. They basically quick turns. But for you, they happen so fast that you think that that's real-time game.
Okay, we could talk about Victoria 3 for a lot more time. Let's move. They also have Stellaris. Stellaris is, if you like the when Civ gets into space stuff, Stellaris takes it. You know, what would happen after? You know, might be a fun game to play after your Civ game, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think your people are going?
Stellaris... One thing I want to add about Stellaris is that it has also the same vibe with technology being developed. So when you start, you have this shitty civilization that barely goes from the planet to the planet. And in the end, you jumps across the galaxy and basically wipes out another systems. And this is the same thing that draws me, for example, to Civilization. Like you start as nothing and then you develop a huge... country with lots of I don't know some units and stuff like I love it this feeling
you feel like you can invest in your like you emotionally invest in it
that's a good point actually when you start Stellaris it may as well be the Stone Age compared to where you end up
it really is next
no you're good go ahead.
Yeah, I also even talked about this in this previous podcast when you talked about Civ 7, that this is kind of the issue of this game. That you, because you have these separated parts, you don't feel this like development of your country.
It feels a bit too gamey, I guess, and not enough of like this simulation of an emotional investment. And
They're doing, hey, the best part is the beginning. Let's just do the beginning 6 times. And do some of that. You know, fun, cool. I'm glad you wanted to try something, but we definitely lost something while you were trying some stuff out. Okay, let's move on to the next is turn-based empire management games. If that's what you like the turn-based empire management, we've got some options for you. The first one is the series of Total War games. What Total War game should we be playing if we want to experience something, Tim?
To me, I would say what time period do you like the most? And that's your answer. I think that there's so much to cover here, so many different games. And they've all got something interesting. That I have my own personal preferences, but... think of simply what time period you would like to play, where it's classical time, Romans and Greeks, where it's medieval, where it's Napoleon times, or also consider, do you like magic and fantasy world, or do you prefer more the historical kinds? That's also another division to make. So personally, if you don't have a huge preference for which time period or something like that, I personally really enjoy Napoleon Total War.
It's really it's unique too. It's the only one with ship combat, right?
It does, yeah. And that adds a nice flavor to it, and nice variants that you're not always having the exact same fights.
Isn't Warhammer, though, considered the best one at this point?
So, yes, but that goes way far into, like, fantasy, magic, heroes management. It's not like these big armies fighting each other. You have, like, these heroes, which is like Civilization, I guess. But if you prefer more the historical aspects, that kind of, like, that can be a blocker, I guess, yeah.
So let's just say if your favorite part of Civ is modding Civ to be like Game of Thrones or adding in fantasy stuff to Civ, then you should try Total Warhammer. Okay, next one is Age of Wonders. To me, Age of Wonders is actually pretty similar to Civ. It just has its own unique spin. It's got a lot more fantasy like Total Warhammer. And it also does, I think it does warfare much better. Much better. And it's much more, the word I'm trying to look for is condensed in its time frame too. Like you have advancements, but it's not going from Stone Age axes to tanks. It's more like, I'm going to change my society by, we're going to become plant people or something like that. And if you guys played Age of Wonders 4, you'd maybe have seen this. That's one of the really unique things about Age of Wonders 4. You can gain these benefits and these magical abilities that can change your whole society. You could go from, well, you could become plant people, you become giants, you could become dwarves. There's all kinds of things you can become in this game just by the bonuses you pick. And that's, to me, that made it really unique. And you're still doing the 4X stuff, though. It's still a Civ-like game. They just went deep on the fantasy. Do you guys have any experience with that game?
I have played, like, I don't know, about 15 hours of the newest part. And what I liked about it, and this kind of reminds me also of Civ, basically Civ games, is randomization. So basically, again, you start at some point, you are at, I don't know, the world is generated, and you need to cope with the situation, and basically some events can change your civilization or race in this type of game, like completely, as you said. You can randomize some spells, you can randomize some traits, and I loved it because it makes, like, as you said previously, it makes you invested in the race you created at some
point. Yeah, absolutely.
One warning I would have for both Total War and for Age of Wonders is, I think there's a lot of Civ players out there who play the game and ignore the combat aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. And they prefer the building up and going through the history, and they go for the science victory every time or the culture victory. And that's something with both Age of Wonders and Total War, is like they're much more combat focused. So if that's not something for you, I would steer away from these two.
That's a great point, especially with Total War. The city building aspect of Total War, very loosely city building. Yeah, very bare. You're basically just picking a building and yay. Okay, next one we're going to talk about is Endless Space 2. Tim, how is Endless Space 2?
It actually, it's probably one of these games that we've mentioned so far that is the most like Civ, I would say. It's just in space. But the interface gives like similar vibes to it. You're doing similar things. But yeah, you're floating around in space, and it's quite really neat UI, and everything is quite neat. It's also on the simpler side. It's not as grand strategy as some of the other games like Paradox games. So it's not hyper complex. It's neat. Yeah.
Would you recommend that one?
Not to myself. No. I personally prefer a bit more complex games, but I recognize that to each their own.
Sure.
And this is something a bit easier to learn than some of the games I prefer.
Okay, so going from one of the easier ones to one of the harder ones, the next game we have is Shadow Empire, which none of us have really played, but it is something that comes up as a 4X type game that a lot of people recommend. It's got its own little cult following, I would say. But one of the big barriers is really complicated. It's really difficult. I don't know about everyone else. I can't speak for everyone else. But I have downloaded and started a Shadow Empire game 2 to 3 times. And every time, it's just, I get ready to start, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go do this. Is this the time to try this new game? I don't know. And every time I just don't get it started. But I know I need to, because I've heard that it's so unique.
But you managed to start Dwarf Fortress?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my god. All right, it says something about this game, I guess.
Same thing. And Terra Invicta, remember? Terra Invicta, yeah. I managed to start and play all the way
amazing
to
game.
Blowing up alien ships.
That is something with these games. That is something with these games, is that you have to invest a huge amount of time and effort and even thinking to it. You know, like it's something that you don't just like you pick up for 5 minutes. You really like you drown yourself in it.
Yeah, it's true. But I also want to say, Dwarf Fortress, they have done. I've said it on other podcasts. Their creator went out and made a tutorial, and the tutorial's really good. You know, it teaches you how to play the game fast.
I guess the best tutorial previously for the Dwarf Fortress was playing RimWorld. And after playing RimWorld, you can get into Dwarf Fortress pretty fast, because basically it is much easier game. And then if you try something harder, it becomes much easier afterwards.
I'll tell you, anybody who's listening to this and they're like, okay, they brought up Dwarf Fortress, let me look this up. Just go ahead and YouTube The Boat Murdered. It's a story of a co-op game. Have you guys heard that? Boat Murdered?
Yeah.
I heard it and I was like, okay, I gotta try this game after just listening to these guys get destroyed. I have to try this game. Anyways. Dwarf Fortress, we're not even talking about it today. So that's Shadow Empire, recommended by many. None of us have tried it. I'm going to try it within a year, probably. So, okay, next, we're jumping into games. So those were our turn-based empire management games. Now we're going to jump into, you know what? These give us just 4X vibes. These are 4X vibe games. The first one we're going to talk about is Spellforce, Conquest of Eo. And Adam, what do you have to say for us for Spellforce?
I'm a huge fan of the game. And I have to say that for me, this is like a hidden gem of current, I don't know, last decade or so. Like, I love it. I played hell out of it. I played it back and forth. I tried different approaches. This is kind of game like, you know, you have this kind of game that if you don't know what to play, like, okay, I will play this game because I know this game. I want to squeeze more out of it. Basically, it is a 4X game. It has a lot of magic. It has some Heroes of Might and Magic into it. But I would say it's more... The most similar game to this one is Age of Wonders. But in Spellforce, it focuses on a single hero. Like, hero basically is kind of your race. You can develop like different units and so, but you start with hero, like in Heroes. But again, you have a whole map, you have hexes, you have battles like in Age of Wonders, you have traits. Amazing game. I cannot say it more. It's basically one of the best games I've ever played. Really good. Really, really good.
You know, it's on sale right now, and by the time this episode comes out, it will be just off sale.
Probably you can grab it like on some, I don't know, like other official key stores like Humble or something, because it's on sale all the time. And it's a spin-off of Spellforce RTS games, But again, like Spellforce are RTS, and this one is 4X, and I haven't thought it will grasp my attention so much as it had. Mm-hmm. Like it is, it to the point that basically I haven't slept for like a day because I played this game all night. This is this kind of game, like sometimes there's game that you play all night, and this is this kind of game.
And just so everybody knows, Adam is a man who has a whole wall of board games behind him while he's talking. This is a guy who knows these types of games. Okay. His recommendation matters.
Every episode you tell one of my little secrets, like how old I am, what games I have behind me and stuff like that. But
that's nothing else.
No, but this is amazing game. Like I wish more and more people know it because I believe it hasn't sold so much. So
okay.
That's
well, you almost sold me on it. You said it's a cross between Heroes of Might and Magic and Age of Wonders. I was like,
and there's also a plot in this game. Like and if you play like I don't know third time or fourth time, you can press a button, skip a plot, and you get down to the gameplay. So nice. It's really good.
All right. Our next ones that give us the 4X vibes is Old World. Now, I have only played this game a little bit. This one gave me, really, if you like the beginning of Civ, you wish that part was longer, you think it gets boring later, but you also kind of like Crusader Kings, you should play the Old World. You should give the Old World about a shot.
I would say this is the most similar game to Civilization. This is like the closest one.
Yeah? Why?
Because basically it's like you take medieval age or a little bit of stone age from civilization, and that's it. And like focus only on this period, squeeze max out of it, add some more features from, for example, other games. But again, the core is civilization in here. Like diplomatics, the world map and civilizations and stuff, really similar.
Yeah. So there's something that I found with these kind of games is that when they do the Stone Age, it's almost like a tutorial. Like the Stone Age is like a tutorial where everything is like very, very simple. And then when you go through the ages, then things get more and more complex and they add some stuff to it. And then I've always been wanting to play in the Stone Ages, but it's a lot more complex and a lot more interesting part. Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about it. But I'm going to talk about it. There's this game called Dawn of Man. Did any of you guys play Dawn of Man? It was a city builder.
I played it, yeah.
Yeah, that was only the Stone Age. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was actually that was quite... really interesting game. I wouldn't have put so many hours into it, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I found that the first time you level up and all the big animals go away, it wasn't any
fun. Mm-mm.
But... interesting game. Anyways, you reminded me of that with the Stone Age, how simple everyone makes it. The last set of games we're going to talk about are basically the Civ copycats. They tried to take Civ, redo it, change a few things, and for the most part, both of these games kind of failed, but had some success. And we're talking here Millennia and Humankind. I have not played Millennia. I have played Humankind. I had some fun with Humankind, but just like with Civ, I was thrown off by the switching, and that game just lost steam for me as soon as I got up. What about you guys? Any experience with Humankind?
Yeah, I played the Humankind. I thought it was okay. I think you can play either Civ or Humankind, and both are kind of like okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're looking to play the same game as Civ, you can play Humankind. But if you're here listening to this episode, chances are that you're not looking to play Civ again, but just with the different little images and stuff. So I would say maybe...
I agree. What about Millennia? I never played Millennia, but did you play a little bit, Adam?
Yeah, I played Millennia and I liked it. The only bad thing about this game, but it's really bad that I need to mention, is that it's hideous. It's basically so ugly. I cannot look at it. Like, the design and look, like, wow. Wow. Why? Like, there wasn't a single artist that would say, like, oh, it looks good. No, it was bad. It's ugly. It's a horrendous how bad it looks. But again, it's a good game. So if you can cope with it, it's a really good copycat. It at the start, it had a lot of errors. Like, there was not a lot of quality of life features, but right now it came to the point I basically, like, played through all the ages. There are some really neat ideas, like the ages can change. So you can, I don't know, if you do something, for example, you can enter Magical Age or Fallout Age. So it's really nice. But yeah, I would say it's really good at this point. It's a good copycat of Civ games, but it's so
ugly. Do you think
they're
setting up for a Millennia 2 that is more polished and better looking?
So I did a little bit of research. And basically, when I looked at the LinkedIn of the company that created this game, like, no one was fired at this point, and there's no news about anything they do with this game. So I believe they're aiming for the second try.
There we go.
Because there are, for example, Spellforce Conquest of Io, the team is right now like 3 people already. So I guess they're done with it. But this one, like, the crew stayed the same and there is no information. So I believe there will be second try. Because it's really kind of good.
Good for you. You know, that's a great point. They haven't moved on, so they must be working on something. And if you think about Civ, nobody played Civ 1. Everybody played Civ 2, right? Maybe that'll be Millennia. Maybe Millennia will be Civ killer. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Civ 7's not. Maybe it's Millennia 2.
On the other hand, on Civ 7, they worked like for 10 years or something. And you saw what happened. So terrible. It can go either way.
Yeah.
They've got a big update coming that, you know, their website says fixes everything.
I think it can still be a fine game. They just needed to be honest and say early access, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Haven't they announced, like, DLCs a couple of days ago?
I've been trying. I said it on the last pod. they're not getting a cent from me. If they do a free LC, then I'll play it. But I paid, you know, so many double cheeseburgers extra to get a little bit of early access, and then it was terrible. So they burned me. They got me. Good for you.
And the last one without meat, we remember.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think that's our whole list. You guys want to get out of here? Any final thoughts on any last second recommendations you want to throw out there?
I thought of one game. There's it's kind of big in some Forex community, and it's called Galactic Civilizations 4. I haven't played it, but I saw it brought up loads of times, and it looks really similar. Like, it has hexes also in space and stuff, and I would say maybe this one, but I cannot recommend it or say about its console.
One last one that I have in mind, Spore. It is a game that gives you this vibe of, like, you start very small, out of nothing, and you grow and you grow and you go into all these different places. It's funky, it's weird, it's about, like, a race rather than humans and stuff like that. But it does give you this vibe of, like, going through time, basically.
Tim, are you here for the Spore 2? Give us Spore 2 podcast. Let's do it. let's try to get a Spore 2, guys. I can't believe you just said that game. I loved that game.
I can tell you a short story about it. So basically, when I was younger and I was partying at some point of my life, I had this kind of, like, one day of having a big hangover, and I stayed in my friend's house, and what basically whole morning, like, couple of hours, we were watching the streams of Spore being played from start to finish. And it was amazing. Like, guys, you cannot imagine how well how well I basically... It was really well spent time for me.
So when it came out, I bought it, my brother went and bought it, and then my stepfather, it's the last game he ever played, he went and bought it. And we were all three playing it at the same time. He put like 50 hours into one game. What's that?
Was there a multiplayer?
No, we were all playing our own games.
Okay. Wasn't it like
everything's
No Man's
multiplayer
Sky?
With you, Tim. I like it.
But there was a thing that like your race was uploaded to the web or something, yeah. That you could find it or something like that.
Oh, cool.
Guys are both right. There was. You could run into your race when you did the space. That was what killed Spore, by the way, was their space age was so bare bones.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the last one was the worst one. That was a bummer, to be honest.
Okay, I want to just plug Terra Invicta. I said it earlier, but Terra Invicta is... I don't know if it's a Civ-like, but... You know, if you like the future stuff and you wish there was more of that, and you have 200 hours free, go ahead and try Terra Invicta.
Give it a shot.
It's a fun game.
Terra Invicta also splits into kind of like parts, am I right? The first part is kind of Civ game, and then it goes somewhere, let's say.
It's an influence game. You're taking over with influence. It's really interesting. Really unique premise. Okay, let's get out of here.
Okay.
We're doing it. We're gone.
check out our website, criticalmovespodcast.com. If you like our podcast, you can always share it with someone who think they would like it too, and we would appreciate that.
Yes, very much. Thank you. We've been Critical Moves, and have a great week, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.